Father, thank you for the precious Word of God. The Lord is food for our spiritual man, the new man. I thank thee for the feeling that comes when God moves in on the scene. But I know this, I know the difference when my flesh is satisfied sometimes and the heart's not. And when my heart is satisfied and the flesh struggles. And dear Father, that's come from you. If we ever going to learn anything, it's going to come from you by your Spirit, through our spirit, through our soul, as we bring this body in subjection. So I pray this morning you'd give us wisdom. Thank thee for the Sunday school class we heard on wisdom this morning. Now I pray, Father, you'd help this frail body be the instrument in your hands. Our hearts, our focus would be towards you. And the Holy Spirit could do for each individual here simultaneously what we need, for we all have different needs. So I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Brother Vernon, I thought one time this morning we'd get all over my message, but he hit all around it. But anyhow, I want to speak to you on something I believe is very important. I hear it all the time. It's nothing uncommon for someone to say, you know, if you're really a sold-out Christian, your logic is warped. If you're really on fire for God and God is first, and sometimes they'll think that if you put God first, then everybody else got to keep you up. That's not allowed. That's not true at all. That's allowed the pit of hell. Because you see, God always uses people to bless us all. Do you know that? What do you realize? That where you're working at, God's using somebody to bless you through a system. And so we're blessed because God touches people's hearts to do certain things in turn to reward in certain ways. And so I want us to look at this morning this thought, the logic of life. There's a lot of folks that tell us nowadays, well, you can't be too educated if you're really spiritually sold out to an unknown God you can't know. And you say he's visible, but no one's ever seen him. I've got news for you. There have been some who have seen him. But there's been some who said they've seen him, hadn't seen him. And so what they're getting is not the right thing. By the way, God will never contradict his word. If someone says they've seen God and contradicts this word, or God has spoken to them and contradicts this word, you can believe they've not seen God. God doesn't have to say something 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and then change it today because circumstances have changed. He sees all from the beginning. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. Now, if you look with me in chapter 9, in verse 9, he says this. He says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Notice, teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Wisdom is a mighty tool that God can use to help us as we understand his word. A wise man will hear, he said. Look down in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge, or it's the beginning of knowledge here. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. Pretty plain, isn't it? In verse 22, he says, turn you at my reproof. Verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? God has given us the ability to learn. He's given us his word to know his heart. And yet, he said, we're made not just to be simple, and please understand this, in the sense of not knowing. We can know. You have the ability to learn. You have the ability to do. You have the ability to make decisions as an in the image of God Almighty. And so here Solomon is writing about wisdom. Now, if you look over in Psalms chapter 9, first of all, we see that he said faith is the beginning of knowledge. In verse 22, he says again that it is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. If you look in chapter 19 and down about verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, the word fear in these verses means reverential trust. It's settled in your heart of who's doing the speaking and who's doing the talking and who's giving information. And therefore, you understand. My knowledge must always start out with the fear of the Lord. My wisdom must always start out with the fear of the Lord. Why? It's clean. It's right. And whatever I may learn to add to that, if He's first, will be appropriate in the right way before God Almighty. Now, if I look over in James chapter 1, and I'll just read these verses for a reference. He says again in verse 5, if any man of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it, for it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then if you look in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, and then we'll get into the message. Think with me again. The fear of the Lord's beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord's clean. Any man like wisdom, let him ask God. And then we see in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, God has said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to talk about the logic of life. Some of you say God has no logic in it whatsoever. It only makes sense to the average man. I reckon not, because man is out of line with God. He's born that way. I think about it, I might have told this a few years ago, but I heard what is three old men began in Alzheimer's disease, and the doctor was talking to him, and he thought he would give him a simple test, a memory test. And he asked the first man, he said, sir, he said, can you tell me how much is 3 times 3? And the man thought and figured and thought. And he said, yes, sir, I can. It's 274. Well, the doctor was frustrated. He turned to the second man and said, sir, can you tell me what 3 times 3 is? The man said, yes, sir. He thought, and he said, it's Tuesday. Now, he's really frustrated now. Instead of the men being frustrated, he's frustrated. He turned to the third man and said, sir, can you tell me how much is 3 times 3? He thought of me and said, yes, sir, it's 9. He said, I am so happy you got that right. Could you tell me why you reasoned to be 9? He said, simple. I just subtracted 274. I subtracted Tuesday from 274 and I got 9. Now, that's about an illogical thing you could think of, isn't it? And we'd say, hey, that's got to be a joke. It can't be real. But I want to talk about the logic of life. And that's the acts of the way the world looks at us who call ourselves, quote, Christians. That we not got it together as good yet. And we got a lot of problems and we can't face the problems. So we come and cop up this story down through the years about a God in Christianity. I think about the dad who said to his son, his sister came in just crying. Said, son, I want you to tell me what reason do you have for putting that chalkboard eraser in your sister's mouth? And he said, well, Dad, simple. She had her mouth open. That makes more sense, even though it might not have led to the right results than the first example that I gave to you. I'm talking about the logic of life. Now, logic is the science of correct reasoning. It's the science of correct thinking. There seems to be an expression today that faith and reason are opposed to each other. Do you hear that much? It's even drifted down into the young eras now. Because when it comes to look at faith and reason, it seems like to be the thing in nowadays to go with reason and do what something God says not do. Than to take faith at its value and ask God to help you be strengthened to do what God says do. So it's something that's infiltrated in life all across the board today. When you talk about faith and you're talking about reason. But surely, man who can think can have contact with the mind behind the universe. The one who created what we have before us. I mean, the one who thinks that the universe did not happen by itself. I want to tell you, folks, I say that I think, and they say that they think, but I believe my thinking is more accurate because God is behind it than theirs. It makes sense to me as an intelligent human being that if God said He spoke and things happened, it did because that's God, then to think all of a sudden all of this happened, some big bang explosion with no reason behind it whatsoever. I'm talking about the logic of life, of understanding things. It's amazing how we become sometimes. So a man of faith is not a shallow thinking as some feel that we are. Well, you know, preacher preaches because that's all he could do. I have you to know I was doing a whole lot more than some people are doing before God called me to preach. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. God has allowed man to invade this universe with his mind. We have the ability to analyze. We have the ability to discover. And I'm going to talk from the angle from what man looks at, but from a godly viewpoint. Because the only way you see it is let God reveal to you that you can use the same mind that you look for trash to explain things away, to look for truth to explain things as they are. So He's given us this ability to analyze and discovery. In our lifetime, the microscope reveals the unseen world. The telescope reveals space. Everything is held under the searchlight of reason as people look at all of these things. And this is okay, providing that human reason does not ignore God. When you begin to analyze, when you begin to discover it, when you begin to investigate, then we must realize that that God-given ability must never cause us to ignore God. If we ignore God, then we will run every way and never come up with the true answers. God gives a human mind the right to know, the right to analyze, the right to discovery. And God wants to be in the center of it. Simple that. Now, in order to know, the mind investigates. The mind debates, or the mouth does. Comes from the mind. We argue, we search. When we do this, this is called reasoning in this world. And there's nothing wrong with that. Also let the mind, as we're reasoning, pry into God's spiritual world. Because you and I, as human beings created in procreation through natural birth, will never understand the spiritual world in our own energy, in our own thinking. It's too foolish until the eye of faith is opened by Jesus Christ to see into that dimension that we can't see in. I'm going to give you 4 points this morning about the logic of life. What God says is logical. It's reasonable. The world says, no, it's not, you can't. See, how do you know God wrote this? Well, He said He did. Well, if He could do all of this and He keeps His word, what He said He'd do. Well, I don't believe that's the word of God. There's no hope for you anyhow then. And I don't mean just you. I mean those who'll be listening, the radio, the world, whatever it is. There's no hope for a person to not believe. You're not going to hear in the age of grace from God except through God's word. And so we have to realize, and that's reading Paul wrote of and one of his writings is the fact that he praised some of them. They took what he said as being from God, as God's words, rather than just the mouths of men, you see. Number one is this. Christianity is the most logical thing in this world. Amen. It's logical. It claims and promises, requires careful examinations among people who love truth. The world says they love truth. But when they hear truth, they're like Pilate. What is truth? To every individual, truth is whatever they think truth is. No, truth is what God says it is. Now, you say, well, if man tells a lie, he's not truthful. We understand that's a phrase. But when you talk about that, what is a lie, what's not a lie? We could get into that, and that's not the message at this time. Christianity is the most sensible, intelligent, ethical movement in the world. It is a reasonable thing, Paul said in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable thing to do that, Paul said. Read it in Romans 12 and verse 1. The Christian faith claims the entire man for God. The visible and the invisible parts of man comes within the scope of redemption. God set for both. Man is still searching for that other dimension of man, of himself. He sees his body, he sees his brain, he's got all this information that he has been able to accumulate in the last few years, and yet he's still fizzled, Johnson County word, and not understand a thing. Because he don't see the spiritual side. And there's a dimension he's missing, so he can't put it together. And so one generation comes along, another and adds and takes away and so forth. You see, the alignment from God for us to understand is this. God who is the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of man, and the soul of man, and the body. Now we're on this end. A human person, a human being being born in this world looks at life from the body, soul, and spirit, and because he can't see the soul and spirit, he only sees the body, so he puts everything around the body. And he tries to find the answer of the life of the body. But when you let God reveal to you from him his spirit, soul, and body, and there's a spiritual awakening with him, comes through the new birth, then there's enlightenment from him that God gives us as he says, come, let us reason together. There's enlightenment from God that by the time it gets to where we are in this body, we see things that a person that's born physically, never been saved, can see. He always looks from where he's at. So if he can go to church and get the same thing he gets at a seminar or somewhere or another, feels all the same. If he can go to church and have the feeling of the flesh that he can get at the pavilion where they have the entertainment centers, it all runs together. So they have nothing substance that can help them understand why and what they believe. God said, come, let us reason together. God doesn't reason to satisfy the flesh. He reasons to satisfy the soul so we'll know how to handle the flesh. The new creation, ladies and gentlemen, is your soul and spirit. It's been quickened. It's been made alive. And we have to understand that in our lives. So when you end up man's view from the body, the soul, and spirit in that direction, the time you get from the body, you've lost all the rest because you can't even understand the function of the bodies of yet. And you begin to look for avenues why the body is existing. You go all kinds, you know, you got death, biological death, clinical death. You come all of these things you're studying out here, but you never really get an answer why. The ceiling has stopped everything. God has been cut off at that time. God demands the use of the mind. By the way, so does Christianity demand the use of the mind. You never learn anything about God unless you get in this book. Yeah, just hearing messages alone won't do what it could do if you take a message and God touches your heart. And everybody has different things that he touches about. Go home and study that out before him. God demands the use of the mind. God utters words. He said this about Israel in Isaiah 1:3 before we get to verse 18. He said, Israel doesn't know. He said, my people does not consider. In all that he's done, he said, they do their ceremonies, they give their sacrifices, they sing their songs, they say their prayers, they go through the rituals, but he said, Israel doesn't know. My people does not consider. They're doing all of this activity in the flesh, but they're not hearing from God. And they're claiming that God, and that's the reason you've got so many branches of that. So many different things that people believe. They do these things, but they're not thinking. God calls them to repentance in verse 18. Then he says, come now and let us reason together in the first part of that verse. Leave God out and we become immature in our minds and in our life. And immature reason, when we leave him out, reason errs in the day of its immaturity. I think that's the reason why in the book of Acts that we see these words written in verse 30, he said, at this times of this, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There was a time before Jesus came that he did things and he did quickly, but there's things that he overlooked under the atonement until Jesus could pay the debt. He's not winking anymore at sin. Sin has been paid for. And we'll accept the payment in Christ or we end up in hell, that is human race will, never being able to pay the payment without Christ. It's just simple as that. Repentance is necessary to reason with God. Isaiah 1 teaches us that. Repentance is necessary. You see, that's the very reason why the human race can't reason with God. Because they deny him. So there's no repentance. They go their own way, seeking answers for their own self, and leave God out. Reason is one of God's greatest gifts to men. God gave reason to man that man might use it to glorify first God and secondly help the welfare of the human race. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just reading recently of years in the past what Christianity. Did you know that Christianity in the center of God's will has done more for the human race than any other religious system that's ever existed? It started all the hospitals. It started all the good things you find in life, and man has benefited from it. Why? Because God gives it. Look at all the religions in the world that do not worship God like we do in Christianity. They're killing, they hate, they do all these things that you can see. And we can go back and look at the Crusades and begin to label them and some of that. And some of those people involved with that won't save to start with. Christianity got caught into other things. But I'm telling you, it is Christianity that God has used to help humanity down through the years. Why? He gives us a heart for humanity. He gives us a heart for individuals. God gave reason to man that he might get glory and also be a welfare of others. Man cannot live happy in this world together unless they behave reasonably, and they can't live with God or each other unless they behave reasonably. To behave irrationally produces problems. Listen to me. To think that we all can live like we want to live and get away with it disturbs the unity of life. This is a good crowd this morning, but if we go around and think that every individual in here could live just like you wanted to live in the flesh, there would be no unity of life in this building without God. All of us think different. All of us look at life different. And so man can never escape from his own conscience. I mean, man may escape from the law of the land at times. And he does and runs, and sometimes you can't find him. But man can never escape from his conscience and God's law. There is no peace until the conscience is satisfied, and the conscience, which has to do with the inner man, cannot be satisfied until there's peace with God. God will see to that. There's got to be peace with God before the peace of God can ever be experienced in one's life. You can escape from an uncomfortable location by just picking up and moving. You can cut loose from a neighbor by just staying apart from that neighbor or moving out of the neighborhood territory. You can cut loose from a job just by changing companies. You can cut loose from a church just by changing churches. But it don't change the conscience. It goes with you. Wherever you go. The only way to escape from an accusing conscience is to conform to its demand. And you can't conform to its demand until it's transformed. And that's what Paul, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 said. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Christianity is the most logical thing in this world if you look at it from God's viewpoint. How's that? Spirit, our soul, our man, our body. And the way that's done is when there's alignment made. Coming in this world, the alignment's out. So there's no way that alignment can ever be made like it could to hear from God and view from God until one is born again. A baby in a womb like it is before it's born will never know no more than what it knows in that womb. It has to be born physically to understand physical life. You have to be born spiritually to understand spiritual life. Number two, reason has its place, but reason is not everything. The sphere where reason works is limited. Reason works over material furnished by the information senses. We get this through imagination, through words. We get it through study, through thought. When true facts, here's the thing. When we begin to reason about something, when we begin to investigate something, when true facts are available, hear this. Once true facts are available, there is no more reasoning. Only acceptance. Once there's true facts, if a person still reason over true facts, there's no way they're going to ever get it. The only thing you can do once reason comes to a fact in your heart and life is accept it. And that's what we do about Christ. I may be reasoning about who he was before I was saved. But once he satisfied that with facts, accept has cleared a lot of things up for me that I have no trouble with today, you see. Why? We need to move on to something else. We need to get out of the babyhood of Christ and move to greater things that God calls us to do. It has been stated that one's mind is intensely active between 16 and 30 years of age. I believe that. Brother Offer and I was talking about Thursday night visitation. That amazes me. I thought of it during this message the last few weeks. I'm amazed at the things that I did as a teenager. And then, I don't mean mean or bad or sinful. I mean things that were dangerous. I wouldn't do it today, bro. You couldn't pay me to do it. You wouldn't either. There's some things. You did anything much. And you heard me talking about getting in a tree and swinging high up in the tree. One time we had some metal rods. Actually, it was wire. We took it up in a big old tree, high as this building about. And wrapped around that tree. We were good engineers. We wrapped around at least 10 times. And put 20 penny nails in it. And got us a pipe put on that thing. And went way down to another tree and tied it down at the bottom and put a bunch of shucks down there. Not realizing that shucks don't do much when you hit the ground. And my mother and dad didn't know that. They'd been scared to death. By the way, I would too. But then, you know, we were neighborhood boys. We had it all together. We had engineers in our group. And the very first one that went down, we found out that the line was too slack. He never hit the shucks. I thought he'd die. Knocked the breath out of him. That ought to have been enough. But no, sir, we're engineers. We jacked that thing up, moved it up a little bit. So next time, not realizing the heavier word, the more it go down into the ground. I'm telling you. There's so much things out there that's dangerous. And here one dares all things and is ready to go anywhere at that age. That's one of the reasons why that age makes good soldiers. I wouldn't be a good soldier nowadays. I have a lot of fear. I have a hesitant. I see danger. Now, when I was in the service, I made a good soldier. I made a soldier last year. The soldier of the year in my division. I have it up in my office. But now, things that I did then. Hey, I had to go out on a mortar round one time because I was in charge and defuse a mortar round that didn't go off. I couldn't do that now. I won't go how to do it. I had been trained how to do it. But I was scared to death. I was so scared that when I reached over to get hold of that barrel, my pants ripped right open the rear. And they won't tie it either. What have you said? There's things that whereas now we see. By the way, young folks, that's the reason your parents is cautious about what you do and where you go and what. See, they've been there. And you don't have to experience some things if you listen to them. If you listen to them. One Christ rejecter said, well, I want you to know I am a free thinker, as if we who are saved are not free thinkers. He was insinuating that a Christian is bound as a thinker. You're in a straitjacket. You can't really consider everything. Isn't it amazing things? I studied electronics for 3 to 4 years. I worked in electronics for 12 years. I managed an apartment for 10 of those 12 years. I've studied 6 years in theology. I studied 2 years in philosophy in college. My thinking, and I say this truthfully, my thinking as a preacher has been more free as a Christian studying theology and philosophy in the Lord than all the rest together. Don't tell me I'm not a free thinker. I'm not in a straitjacket. I'm free. So are you if you're really saved. Those who are free thinkers are in a straitjacket. And they can't understand what's going on. I welcome truth with an open mind and a generous heart. Our opinions are the products of man's reading and hearing and thinking. What you think on any subject depends on what you have heard, what you have read, what you have thought. That is why opinions change. You hold a certain opinion about something, then you hear, you learn more, and then your opinions change because you've developed a little bit more in maturity. And I say to you that Christianity is the most logical thing in the world. God has never changed, and it's logic to be a Christian from God's viewpoint. Number 3, the Christian faces a hostile world that is ready to attack you at any time. It's ready to attack you at any time. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means set it apart. You can't do that while studying like Paul says, study. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If you're still trying to reason with God, you can't give an answer to men about the hopes in you because your hope's still in a reasoning status. When challenged by such a world, Peter presented the evidence of that his Christian faith was built on. Peter wasn't too giant of a Christian to start with, but he ended up one. I mean, he didn't even stand to help the Lord at the night of the crucifixion. He started out right, but all of a sudden fear came in. It's amazing how some people are when you're in the presence of the Lord's at for a strong beloved. When you're out, you have no power whatsoever. That's kind of the way Peter was in the garden. He knew Christ was there. He flipped the ear off of a person. Jesus healed that, but a few minutes later, he's running, cursing and swearing. He didn't know the Lord. And yet God Almighty loved Peter in that state. He knew that if reason could not be heard, God's biblical authority would not be proved or depended upon. So Peter realized, sanctify the word of God. Be ready to give an answer of your hope. Why? Because that's how you deal with people and why God is reasoning with their hearts. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, we must walk wisely. That means our conduct of life has to back up what we say. Why there's reasoning going on until they come to the fact, to see the facts, and then acceptance take place. In verse 6, he said, redeeming the time. That means you take advantage of the time to do what God has called us to do. We are witnesses of Him. We're not judges. We're not even prosecuted attorneys. We are just witness of the Savior, being able to give a reason why we have this hope in us in this world, you see. You see, one is no good to God's kingdom if he cannot answer the one who opposes Christianity, and he needs to learn to answer it from the Word of God. Someone said, well, I believe it because my granddaddy believed it. Well, you better be sure your granddaddy was right. Well, I trust my granddaddy. I do too. When I was a boy. But I found out after I got saved, my granddaddy was a good Christian man. He believed in Christ. He was washed in the blood. But he had a doctrine that was wrong when it came to soul sleeping. If I'd listened to him, I believe he's in heaven. But he had that doctrine wrong. There is no such a thing as soul sleeping. That is when a person dies, they go to the grave and stay there until resurrection takes place. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm saying you better be sure. It's not anybody who loves God and knows this book is not afraid for them to be checked up on what they believed. Christianity comes from the Word of God when we give an answer. Yet we must never manifest a sanctified superiority complex. Our talk and walk must be in harmony with God in the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove or test all things. In 1 John, you look with me in verse 1, chapter 1, and look in verse 1, 2, and 3. I like this. Here's what John said. He said, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Isn't that interesting? Boy, he'd been there. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested, he said, unto us. That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with, watch this, the Father and, what's the conjunction, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm sorry if you don't understand that. I believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three distinct personalities, function as one. I believe that. Peter, Paul, and John agree that man is not going to become a Christian nor grow in the Christian life without using his mind or her mind. We must be ready to give an answer, he says. Christianity is the most logical thing in this world. But here's the problem, the fourth thing. I want to give you a few examples. Why is it not logical to a person who is looking from the body, soul, and spirit, rather than being born again from the spirit, soul, and body? As Paul tells to Timothy. Some examples. Just suppose this morning, I was in Africa right now and you were natives. I'd be afraid. No, you were natives. And I'd come to you and I'd say something like this. See that hand? I have seen every bone in that hand. I've seen every bone in that arm. Now, they could understand if I had said I'd seen the hand bones in a hand of a person that had died and the flesh had rotted off. But I'm talking about my hand. I've seen every bone in that hand and in that arm. Now, when I would give that to them, this is contrary to reasoning on their level. Right? Me not believe that. But I have. Me not believe that. It's unreasonable of me to believe that. But now, ladies and gentlemen, if I would begin to give them knowledge about an X-ray machine, and then they experience the machine one day to see it, it is really contrary to his knowledge and experience until he knows more reasoning about what I said. It's contrary to his reason to start with until in the reason with him, there's more applied to change his reasons to the fact that he comes to facts and he says, I see mine. Me see mine, or how they would say it. What's happened? He's come to facts. Now there's acceptance, not reasoning. Suppose I go down to the equator. And I tell one of the natives there in the Amazon Valley, never seen a white man before. Probably not that way now, a few years ago. And I'd say, you know something? I'd like for you to know that I walked across a lake in February and never got my feet wet. Where I came from. I walked across this lake in February and it was over 2 miles long. And about 3.5 miles, it could have been longer than that, wide. And I walked across it. Now, this is contrary to his reasoning. But if I tell him and show him, see, man in Amazon never seen ice. He never seen snow that we know of. But if I go and show him, hey, the reason I did that, because that lake freezes over to a foot, 2 foot thick every year in February. I didn't walk right across it. Never get my feet wet. Once he sees how that's done, he reasons no longer. His facts is accepted. Hey, if you did it, I knew that too. You tell someone that Christ walked across a Palestinian lake one day. That's contrary to their reasoning. No one's ever done that before. But if Christ can produce one miracle, he can produce them all. So when he said he did it, and when the Word of God says he did it, I accept that. Once I see the fact, I know who he is. Now, if I don't know who he is, and I'm trying to reason who he is, there's no way I ever accept his miracles because I don't know who he is. But once I have, God has come and reasoned with my heart, with an open heart and a generous heart, an open mind and generous heart, reasoned with me through his Word, then I say, yeah. I believe that Christ is the Son of God. I believe when he spoke this happened. When I see one miracle I believe he did, I believe them all. So when he said he spoke the worlds before him, I believe it. When he said he walked across that lake, I believe it. It's no longer reason of my heart and mind. It's facts. And it's acceptance, you see. Christ excels my experiences at every point. If I destroy Christianity due to the dimensions of my experience, or the measure, or the scope of my experience, I have nothing of value. For me to be born in this world and literally destroy Christianity to the dimension of my experience, I have nothing of value. Only thing I'm looking from the flesh, I have nothing to evaluate it with. I'm glad that's the reason God sent the gospel. A little simple message called the gospel for the church to give out. And he said, that's what I'll use to tap into that heart, into a dimension that they'll see the good news that they've been delivered. And that'll start a whole new process of what they know. For instance, if I try to convince you, and I just move up to our day. If I would say to you, and you were standing here, was outside and the sun's going down. And I'd say to you, boy, and you're facing me and I'm facing this way, and I'd say, boy, I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the most beautiful sunsets I have ever seen. I want you to turn and look at that sunset. And you say, bless God, I don't believe what you say. I don't believe what you say. Well, turn around. Listen, I'm not even going to get the energy to satisfy you to turn around because I don't believe you to start with. Are you being reasonable? Or anyone, of course most of you will say. But I'm saying, is that person being reasonable of that sunset? Absolutely not. All they'd have to do is turn and see. And then it becomes a fact. Suppose I come to you and you never had smelled perfume before. And I say to you, listen, I've got some perfume here. I'm telling Chanel number 5 is nothing compared. This is the best smelling stuff that you've ever smelled. Smell of it. No, I don't smell of it if I don't believe what you say. Well, at least smell it. No, I'm not going to smell of it. I can't trust you. I'm not going to. No, here, smell. I stick it in. No, I'm not going to. Is that being reasonable? I got to get you out somehow or another. If I say to you, and you never had sugar before, you didn't know what it was to have something sweet. And I'd say, sugar is so sweet. And you say, I don't believe that. I never tasted nothing but salt. Salt's not sweet, and salt and sugar looks alike to me. And I'd say, but sugar is so sweet. I don't believe that. But taste it. No, I'm not going to waste my time on something that you say. I just don't believe what you say. Well, taste the sugar. No. Are you being reasonable? Is that person being reasonable? I'd say, no. Now, I don't care whether it's a sunset. I don't care whether it's, you know, perfume or sugar. Now, if I try to get you to come to Christ, He is sufficient for every need of the soul. Try Him. And you say, no, I don't believe you. From my viewpoint, I'm in charge of my own life. I'll just live and die like an animal, and that'll be it. But listen to me. Try Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. No. I've got other things to do. Is that being reasonable? See, they're reasoning out God completely. Because God hadn't come to them at night. And by the way, you better be glad He don't come to people at night by themselves. They'd be scared to death. Probably someone going to eternity with a heart attack. God is not like this world pictures Him. He's a loving God. But He's also a God who's in charge. In 1 John chapter 5, the word knows, used 8 times or more. Something we can know in life. Does it seem that it's irrational to be a Christian logically? Absolutely not. I should say irrationally. Does it seem to be a Christian rationally, logically? Yes. Let me get it right. Not illogically. It's the most logical thing in this world to listen to what God says, how to become a child of God, which is called a Christian. But you're going to come His way. A Christian is the most sensible, intelligent, ethical, rational, logical thinking to become in this world that one could ever become. The question is, are you one, or someone listening to my radio, are you a Christian? If not, why not? For it's the most logical thing that you can do in life. It makes a whole lot more sense than you came from explosion in space and somehow another life appeared one day later, to know that the God of this universe started us, loved us enough that when we fail, He made a way that we could be brought back to Him. If you're not, you can be. But God says again in Isaiah 1:18, as He said to Israel at the cry to repent to them, come, let us reason together. God invites us. Come, let us reason together. If you come and let reason will my territory, in my line of thinking, then our reason will come facts and you'll have acceptance and no longer be having to reason. You'll be trying to get others to reason why they have not accepted Him. Why? Because He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let your reasoning turn to acceptance today. If you're not saved, let your reason turn to acceptance. If you are saved and seeking God's will, there's something that you're trying to study or do, let the reason come to the facts from God's viewpoint through His Word and learn to just accept. I believe in God's one that if God gets any pleasure out of anything, it's for people just to believe Him. I believe that. And especially His own children to believe Him. My Father, I thank You again for this study. Lord, we need to get more down to where people are living at today. The world seems to have all the answers to bring about an anti-thought about God. And everybody is so hung up on the body being emotional before God to prove what they've got. They are failing to listen, to reason with people from an intellectual standpoint that God can use words through the gospel to draw someone to the Lamb of God. Because He doesn't draw from the flesh. He draws from the heart. It is the heart that God deals with, for the heart is desperately wicked. It has to be changed. It has to be made new. And that's what this is about. But there's another side in the religious world is bringing about a religious atmosphere that where everything caters to the flesh to feel so good, to bring a satisfaction to self, when there's really nothing been done before God in their heart, in their growth, in the way they live, their conduct in life. Dear God, help us today to see Christianity is the greatest logic in life that one could see and reason about and finally accept than anything else they do. And when we talk about Christianity, Lord, we're talking about that which is centered in and around the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, God's Son, our Savior. We thank You for that. Honor Yourself today. Help these minds that You give us that's so active in learning not to ignore God while we're learning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.